All right, am I on? I am on. All right, I'm going to start with prayer. Dear God, I'm coming to you tonight asking for your help. I am certainly nothing without you. I ask that you'd help me to deliver the thoughts that you would have. And there would be nothing that I would say that would you would not have. I pray that you'd be with the prayer requests this evening, the sick ones, be with those. I pray that this would be a help to ones. Help me to be in your will. I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, this is most certainly not where I thought I was going to be tonight. I thought wrestling Jack down there in my seat was hard, but getting ready for a message makes that look very easy. I got the text from Brother Decker Sunday afternoon, and that I don't know even what Sunday night service was about. And for the past, since Sunday, I think I've asked Natalie about every time I've talked to her if she's having contractions yet, hoping I would get out of this, but she told me, she said, there's not a chance I'm having this baby before Wednesday night, and here we are. But if I take off running off this stage, it'd be because she gave me a look and we gotta get going, so. Okay, I'm gonna start my scripture text. Is 1 Corinthians 9:24. If you would turn there with me. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that ye may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body and bring it unto subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. And my message tonight comes from that 27th verse. The topic tonight is something that every one of us have already dealt with already today. We dealt with it the moment we woke up. Some of you young people dealt with it at school today. I dealt with it at work. I'm sure ones have dealt with it at home. Hopefully some of us dealt with it in front of the mirror before we came. I'm sure Brother Bill's thinking I should have dealt with it a little bit more tonight. But my message tonight is on self. Or this flesh, this man you see in the mirror every day, and more specifically, the denying of and the controlling of this self that every one of us is stuck with. With the help of the Lord, I'm going to try and pull this topic of self apart. Hopefully it'll be a help to both the young people and the not so young people. When I Googled self in my study, when you type something into the Google bar, you get a whole bunch of options to click on. And when you type in self, there's a lot of options. I'm going to try and just go through just a few of these that I felt were pertinent to the message. The first one I have is self-obsessed. And you look around, and without a doubt, we're in an extremely self-obsessed world right now. In my study, I thought it was more recent, but apparently it was actually farther back. In 2013, selfie was the word of the year. On average, there are 92 million selfies taken each day. So if you took a selfie today and updated your profile picture, you're part of that 4% of the population that did that today. And all these selfies, or at least I would imagine most of these selfies, are taken on this thing right here. And I looked it up, 83% of the world's population has a smartphone. I found out that 95% of U.S. teens have a smartphone. I thought that was, I knew a lot had, but 95% of teenagers, that's ranging from 13 all the way up. That's a lot of them. There's a lot we can learn about self by this thing right here. I don't know if any of you have ever heard of cookies, but you can learn a lot about somebody, what they've been searching on, by their cookies. That will bring up ads in front of you. Here recently, the girls have been bugging me to go deer hunting, and I wanted to get a blind because they don't know how to sit still. So I was searching for a deer blind. That's all I get now. Ads on my phone for a blind or for a scope or for whatever. So that told exactly what I had been searching for on that phone. And for 95% of the US teens to have a phone, and 83% of the world's population, you can bet where the devil's thinking he needs to go to. Just statistically alone, the devil is thinking that is a great place to have access to most of the world right there, is through that smartphone. That's going to be one place where he's going to be, because the devil most certainly has access to the internet too, as well as everyone who has these smartphones. And not everything is bad about these, but there are many places where you can get in trouble. One thing alone is the time spent. And that's something that the Lord has worked on me about. There can be nothing wrong with getting on there and maybe doing some shopping or something, but how much time am I spending on there? There's so many courses. It's brought up many times. Social media, I feel, is a plague of this world right now. But Instagram and TikTok, I'm not going to get into the realm of whether you should or shouldn't, but there's many dangers involved with these things. The pictures that you can see and not even be searching for, then come across there, can get in your mind and stick there and be there forever and be very hard to get rid of. So I mentioned self-obsessed world. In my search, I came across self-gratification. Self-gratification is the indulgence or satisfaction of one's own desires. And we're definitely in an instant gratification age. If you got Amazon Prime and you need spark plugs, you can have them to your house in 2 days. If you want it, you pull out this phone again, and you'll notice I keep coming back to this phone. You can pull that out and have it immediately. And one of the words that I noticed that I found very interesting in my study, in the definition of self-gratification, it mentions indulgence. And so I looked that word up. And I didn't realize this, but the word indulgence, from my studies, what I found out, started in Roman Catholicism, actually. I didn't know this, but I had to look that up to see what that meant. Apparently, indulgence is if you do a good act or you pay some money, the Pope or the priest or whoever would grant you what was called indulgences and help reduce the punishment in purgatory. And I found that kind of interesting there, that a word like indulgence would come from some place like Roman Catholicism. When I think of indulging, I'm sure we can all think of something. You mentioned indulging in something. I think of food immediately, or a hobby of some kind. I would say we all have something that we like to indulge in, or a hobby that there may not be anything wrong with. If I ask my wife what I like, what my hobby is, or what I like, good chances she's going to mention guns, probably. I love firearms. I got that from my grandfather. And there's nothing wrong with this, as long as it's kept in its place. And I know she would prefer I deny myself many times when it comes to this, but that doesn't always happen. And a lot of times when this doesn't happen, it's because I put myself in a situation to be tempted in along these lines. If I go to a store on Black Friday that's having a great sale, and she's in the car, and I'm in there alone, there's a good chance that I might give in to that desire. If you would turn with me to 2 Samuel 11 and 1. And it came to pass, after the year was expired, at the time when kings go forth to battle, that David sent Joab and his servants with him and all Israel, and they destroyed the children of Ammon and besieged Rabbah, but David tarried still at Jerusalem. Right there was the first problem David had. He was tarrying. How many times do we get in trouble because we're tarrying somewhere or somewhere we're not supposed to be? Maybe we're being idle. The saying goes, idle hands are the devil's workshop. I would go further to say an idle mind could be the devil's workshop. Not keeping your mind focused on things. God will keep us in tempting times, but if we put ourselves in that situation and don't have ourselves where we need to be, we're walking out on our own strength at that point. Verse 2 says, "And it came to pass in an evening tide that David arose from off his bed and walked upon the roof of the king's house. And from the roof he saw a woman washing herself, and the woman was very beautiful to look upon." Right there, he had a choice he could have made. He could have shaken himself and thought, "I need to be where the kings are supposed to be. The kings were at battle." He could have shaken himself. Or, if you read on, "And David sent and inquired after the woman." Right there, he had made a choice. He had put himself in a bad situation. He was not where he was supposed to be. And the devil sends an ad right there in front of him. He was where he wasn't supposed to be, and that ad came across. And none of us, not even King, if King David wasn't strong enough to, when he wasn't where he was supposed to be, and he could not handle that ad sent in front of him, you know, it doesn't matter how spiritual we are. If we put ourselves in a situation where we're not supposed to be, or in a place we're not supposed to be, and things come in front of us, that we are in our own strength there, and none of us are strong enough to stand on our own for sure. This summer, we went on a very nice vacation to Lake Erie with Brother Steve and Sister Sherry. It was a wonderful weekend. It was over July 4th. The weather was very nice. It was a very nice place to go. And the one day we thought, you know, we didn't know it would be a nice time to go across the ferry over to Put-in Bay. And like I said, we didn't know. We showed up and bought our ticket and got on that ferry. And it was about the moment we hit the shore at Put-in Bay that we realized this is not a place to be, especially on July 4th. You got an education. I'll just put it that way, very quickly. And the things we were seeing was not fit at all. It was vile. And we went on a train ride. It was a little cart thing with a Jeep. I wanted to do a little tour of the island, which was fine. And you know it's a bad situation when the tour guide and someone in the world tells you, you need to have your family off this island by, I think it was about 4 o'clock, he said. You need to get off this island. Of course, looking at us, we're there, we're dressed modestly. The girls are, you know, they're dressed modestly. We were the only people on that island dressed modestly from what I could tell. So, you know, maybe it's a great place to go in February when people have clothes on and you're ice fishing, but definitely not a place to go on July 4th. But God protected us here. We did not know what we were getting into. God's grace was sufficient there. I told Natalie after that train trip, I said, we're getting the kids and we're out of here. And we got on that ferry and back across we went over to the ferry place. Now, we could have decided to make another trip, or if I had been over there and I thought, you know what, I'm gonna make another walkthrough. Maybe go up some of these side alleys, look into the little outdoor tiki bars that they've got going and take in the sights. That second trip around, I would not have had God's grace that time. That's where I would have gotten in trouble. So I talked about self-obsessed, self-gratification, and indulgences. What about self-control? That one there was, I think, one of the first ones that came up on the search, self-control. How many exhibited some great self-control on the last holiday we just came through? And how many plan on having self-control on the next holiday we go through? I'm not. I'm going to eat. Here in about a month, the world is going to try to self-impose some self-control in the form of New Year's resolutions. And my studies, on average, 80% of New Year's resolutions fail by the second week. And that is a great indicator right there of just how weak this flesh is on our own. You try fasting one time and you see just how quickly this flesh gets weak. I think by 8 o'clock, I've never seen a better looking peanut butter and jelly sandwich in my lunchbox. I am ready to eat. Another thing that will affect us, again, with this phone, you try and go just a few hours without the phone, and you feel like, well, there's got to be something important there. I've got an email or a text that I just have to get to. It just seems to be, we're just attached to it. It seems like it can be harder than going without food sometimes. But one thing is for certain, that we cannot control the self and our own strength. The things that I started thinking about, the things that we need to have God's grace in helping us to control. The first one I thought of was our tongue. James 3 and 7 says, "For every kind of beasts and of birds and of serpents and of things in the sea is tamed and hath been tamed of mankind." Verse 8 says, "But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. No man can tame this tongue." It is going to take God's help to control this tongue. I have some friends that I graduated high school with, and I still keep in touch with them. We talk a few times here and there, and I really appreciate the effort that they put forward when they're around me. They really try their best to watch their mouth, and they, you know, if they come over or something, or if I'm around them, they do their best, especially at my house, they definitely know. They come to my house and that nonsense does not go on, and they do their very best to watch their mouth, but there's always a slip up somewhere. They will slip up. I appreciate the effort, but in themselves, they cannot help themselves. It is not in their power to control that tongue. How about a temper? This is something God has worked with me with a lot in my life. I inherited a temper from my grandfather, and that is not an excuse. I cannot say, well, I've inherited this temper. That's just how I am, you know, that's just me. That's not the right way to go about it. God can help us, and I'm so thankful that God has helped me and is still working with me through this. I have learned through the years that there's sometimes I have to completely remove myself from a situation or from a place or wherever that, you know, maybe would be fine for anybody. But for me, I know that I have to remove myself from those situations. One thing that always seems to get me riled up, and I don't know why I do it, if you see Facebook posts sometimes, and it's so intriguing sometimes, click on those comments and start scrolling through the comments and you start reading things, and it's so easy to jump into that mud pit and you can get so riled up. And it's something that I would put myself into that just does not need to be a battle that I need to have or that I would have if I didn't click on those comments and start reading comments. It's not something that I need. So it's something that I know that I have to myself remove myself from that. The children's song, Oh Be Careful Little Eyes. How about our eyes? I mentioned the Put in Bay trip. You know, if I had made another trip around the island, I would be putting my eyes in a place that they should not be. That's me putting myself in that situation. I mentioned social media. Instagram is a very dangerous place. The pictures there that can come across, it's a lot of it's just not fit. And for me, myself, I cannot put myself in that situation. I have to abstain from that. Oh, be careful, little ears. The song goes on. Something that I have battled since high school that God has worked with me over, music. Anybody who's been in a pregame locker room knows the music that gets played in there. We had a pregame CD, and the jams were there to get you pumped up and get you worked up, and they would. But if you start looking into some of the artists, the backstory, even if the words were sometimes okay, it is extremely dark. The artists in the backstory on some of these, some of them I know of, they're practicing Wiccans, practicing witchcraft. I had a guy I worked with, I no longer work with him, but him and some of his buddies were big on going to concerts, and they used to go to this concert in Columbus, I'm not sure if they still have it or not, called Rock on the Range. And it's really bad when someone from the world who's accustomed to going to concerts all the time tells you a story where they got uncomfortable. He told me this one time they went there, and this band got up, and the whole crowd kind of got weird feeling, and come to find out, this band that was playing were practicing Satanists. And what they were doing was essentially a satanic church service at this concert. And it was extremely dark. And that's the kind of stuff that it's just, it's full of darkness. How about our hands and our feet? Oh, be careful, little feet, where you go. Many times, and I'm sure young people, you will experience this when you go through high school, you probably will be invited to a party at some point in time, and they will know the stance that you have, and I can guarantee you, you will hear, you don't have to drink. You can come along. We know you don't drink, that's fine. We just want you to come and hang out. That is a lie. Just by associating and going to those parties, you're putting yourself in a situation that you should not be in. Brother Mike had mentioned, it might have been in Sunday school, about the Christmas party at work, and he had just signed that paper and checked no and handed it right back. He could most certainly go and not drink at that party, but what kind of an example would that be setting by just partaking in and being around the behavior that's most certainly going to be on display at a Christmas party with a lot of drinking going on? Now, God is not making that decision. He has to make that decision. We have to make that decision to check, no, I'm not going to the party. We're definitely not on an island. You know, we all have an influence. One thing I'm learning for sure as a parent now, I definitely have an influence over my kids. I can see my kids, sometimes me coming out in my kids. Sometimes it's not great. Jack is getting that temper sometimes too. And he will get mad if something's not working and call it a piece of junk and get mad. And I'm assuming he's seen his dad out in the garage before. And that kind of puts a check on me that I've got little feet and little eyes watching me. And I have to watch myself. I know we would all be surprised if we knew who was watching us. We all have eyes on us, and we all have an influence. It was several years ago now, I got a message through Facebook. It was several years ago from someone that I had never hung around with, several years younger than me in school, and it was a very humbling message, and it was nothing in myself. I'm thankful that God helped me, but he was messaging me, telling me how he had watched me, and he was thankful for the stance that I had taken, not going to the parties, not getting involved with the girls that were there, not the drinking. And myself, I had no idea this kid was watching me. I had no idea. He was several years younger than me. And it was just a real shocker to see that someone that I didn't even know was watching me had been watching me all those years. I mentioned self-obsessed, self-gratification and indulgences, self-control. How about self-improvement? There's many, many topics on self-improvement. One thing that I find very interesting is the World's Strongest Man competition. If you watch these just giants of men compete, I find it very interesting. There's one man. He's a four-time World's Strongest Man champion. His name is Brian Shaw. This guy is 6'8", 440 pounds. This guy would consume 7 meals a day, and it would consist of around 12,000 calories in one day. And he went on to say that some of the hardest work that he did was just the eating. And he did this all to build up the body, build up the flesh. And when I mention self-improvement, I'm most certainly not talking about building up this flesh. How much more important it is to improve on our spiritual self. To improve ourselves as a Christian, it's definitely going to require effort on our part. I know in many messages it's brought up about the basics. Church attendance, getting into the Word, Sunday school, work days. Those are all vital core elements of building up and improving ourselves as a Christian. And it definitely takes putting this self and this guy under, because the flesh, I don't know about all of you, but on Sunday mornings, my bed is never more comfortable. It's never the more perfect temperature. It's easy to sleep on Sunday mornings. And any of you that have kids, you know, at least for us anyways, it seems the devil always fights us on Sunday mornings. You get ready and someone has to go to the bathroom or someone spilled something. They can wake up at 6 o'clock on Saturday morning when everybody can sleep in, but on Sunday morning, I think they would sleep until noon if you let them. And it takes a lot of effort on our part to get to church. At least I'm speaking for us. It just seems like the effort, it's a workout on Sunday mornings, it seems like. And any of us who've been out of service, I know it's been like a week or something, it seemed like we was out of church here recently, we were all sick. But when you've been out of service, you get worn down. And this world will degrade us. And it wears that sharp edge off of us. It takes effort to keep that sharp edge on our Christian experience. I hear stories of my grandpa that he used to be able to put an edge so sharp on a knife that you had to be careful watching it. I wish I'd gotten that that trait. We spend all week at work, at least for me, young people, you spend all week at school. You will get worn down in this world. I relate well to analogies and relations like that. And the story is, this analogy has always stuck with me anyways. It's like a drill bit. Whenever I had worked on one of my first jobs, we worked on a drilling rig, and you have these long iron drill bits, and you run them down, and they just sit there, and they just beat. They just up and down, beating on the ground. And all of us are like that drill bit out in the world, just beating away. And after time, we get worn out of gauge. And that bit, it would get worn out of gauge. The sides would start to get worn down. And when it would get worn down, that driller, he knew, I didn't know, I was green. He would pull that bit out, pull that thing out of the hole, and he would stick that thing in the fire. And just like that bit, we have to pull ourselves out of this world and get to church. We have to pull ourselves out of whatever we're in. If we're in that phone, pull ourselves out of that phone and get in the Word. We have to pull ourselves to get to prayer. And sometimes it's a lot of pulling. And sometimes it's hard to pull ourselves out of these things. But it takes effort to pull these things out. And it takes heat. We would stick that bit in the forge. And you would put the heat to that thing, and you would get that thing so red hot sometimes that sparks would be coming off of it. It would get red hot, and what that did was it softened that metal. It would soften up, and when we would pull it out, we would lay that bit down on the anvil there. It would be red hot, and the driller would get a hammer, and I would get a hammer, and we would go to hammering and just start beating on that bit, pulling that bit back out to size. And sometimes it's just like coming to church. You come to church and we get under the heat. And I'm so thankful for a pastor that brings the heat to us, is willing to put us under the fire. And he gets that hammer out and he starts working and getting us back out to size. Back out. And it seemed like the bigger the bit, the more fire it took, and the bigger the hammer, and the harder you had to hit that bit to get that thing back out to size and back out the gauge. And you can see places, and it's a shame, where the fire isn't hot and there is no hammering, self and flesh starts to shine through. There's no hammering to beat that self back out to size. The self does not like heat. It does not like hammering. And some bits we would get out and hammer on, or you would pull them out, and they'd have a crack in them. And you had to cut that straight off and start all over and get that thing in there. And sometimes it takes several heats and lots of beating. And I'm so thankful that if we get a crack, God doesn't give up on us. I'm thankful our pastor doesn't give up on us. We get in the fire, and God puts us in the fire, and he goes to beating and beats us back out to size. And I'm thankful that driller, he never would give up on a bit. There were some bits that gave us lots of trouble. And sometimes we had to cut them off a few times to get those things to where you had good metal and good, you get it tempered right and get it beat back out to size. And one thing I pray that I'm not work for the pastor that he has to cut and beat and sweat over. I talked about being self-obsessed, self-gratification, self-indulgences, self-control, self-improvement. The last point I have is selflessness. If you turn with me to Matthew 4 and 18. Okay. And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter, and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he saith unto them, Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And they straightway left their nets and followed him. Right away, straightway, immediately, they dropped them and left. I love fishing. Now, for someone to come up to me and say, hey, let's go right now, leave, that'd be hard. Because the first thing this self wants to do is, but I don't want to. Because this flesh wants what this flesh wants. And sometimes this flesh does not like to cooperate and get out of the way. And I know for tonight, this is something that I did, most certainly did not want to do. The pastor asked me, and I'm going to do the best I can with the Lord's help here. But this is most certainly not what Ethan wants right here. I would way rather be down there wrestling with Jack. When you think of selflessness, I think of what if our pastor took a night where he just decided, you know what, I don't want to show up tonight. I don't want to preach, and just decided to take a few nights off. I'm thankful for a selfless pastor. This Christian walk requires us to have less of self. And through this message, I don't want to get the idea that, you know, through ourselves we can control the self. The idea is we have to put forth the effort to do our part to control the self, and God is there to help us. As a Christian, we are in a daily battle with this self. And I can most certainly say that my biggest struggles and the struggles that I've had in my life have been with this guy right here. The world gives us a hard enough time, and it seems like this guy here is always getting in the way. But I am stuck with this guy, just like all of you are stuck with yourself. And it's a daily battle that we're faced with. But I am most certainly thankful that we're not alone, and we have God to help us here. 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, There hath no temptation taken you, but such is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but with a temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. And I cannot tell you how many times I have read that scripture, and it has been such a help to me. I'm thankful that this is a common salvation. I most certainly would not ask or want anyone to go through any of the struggles that I've went through, but it is very encouraging to know that others have went through things that I have went through, and they've made it. You can make it. And that brings me to the ending thing here. This song came to me when I was writing this. I believe Sister Cummings sings this. More than anything in this life, I've got to make it. I have got to know my name's inscribed in the Lamb's great book of life. I want to hear him say, well done. Enter in, my child, you've won. More than anything in this life, I've got to make it. I pray that this message was a help. I'm thankful that the Lord has helped me with it. I'm going to turn it over to the song leader and the chairman. Oh.